Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, raise your head, for love is passing by.
Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live.
Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain.
So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to grow. Remember when you walk, sometimes you
This time we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. Doing good. Now this week Tommy had the bag, and so we're gonna see what's in it. Tommy, do you want to remind us what the rules of the bag are again? Nothing living, nothing that was alive, and if I don't know what it is, you have to explain it to me, right? All right, so here goes nothing. Oh, I know what these are. I'm not good with them, but I know what these are. It's a baseball and a baseball card. Is this your favorite player? Favorite team, the Angels? How appropriate. Mike Trout. I have no idea who that is. Is he an outfielder? Is he good? Awesome. All right, we have a baseball here. We have a card here. The Angels, again, very appropriate. The only thing that's coming to my mind today is teamwork. And it's important that we be a team, right? How many people play on a baseball team? Yes. Well, okay, yes, you do. How many people play on the field? Yeah. Well, yeah, how many, what's the number of people on the team that are on the field at any one time? Not 50, nine, yes, nine. You field nine players. I see that. You field nine people on a baseball team, and what do they all have to have in common? They all want to win, right? They've all got to want to win, and they've all got to do what is necessary to win. And a lot of times that means that they've got to do what's best for the team and not just what's best for them, right? Now, I'm sure that your favorite player, Mike Trout, always does what's best for the team. And he's not concerned about his numbers as much as he's concerned about winning, right? And about doing what's best for the team. And it's the same for us. We have to do what's best for the team, what's best for our family, what's best for the church. And sometimes that means we have to step aside from something. Sometimes that means we have to, sometimes that means we have to think about what other people may need or want, right? And that becomes difficult because we all have ideas of what we think we want things to look like. And it's important that we remember what's best for everyone involved, all right? So let's keep that in mind this morning. Tommy, who do you want to give the bag to? You want to give it to, and what's your name? Yeah, what's your name? Huh? Aaron. All right, here you go, Aaron. Now, the rules, again, nothing alive, nothing that could have been alive or has ceased living, and if I don't know what it is, you have to explain it to me, okay? All right? And so you bring that back next week, all right? All right. Please do your best to remember. If not, then I'll just sit up here in silence for a few minutes. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, okay? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for the opportunity we have each and every day to be a part of your family, Lord, to be a part of your team. We pray that you would keep us mindful of that which you have called us to, and may we do that which is important for our families and for our church and not just for ourselves. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can go to Children's Church. You'll follow Miss Camille. Okay. All right.
The scripture lesson this morning is from the sixth chapter of Paul's first letter to Timothy. And I asked Matt this morning, was it just a coincidence that it was my turn to read scripture? Or did he particularly pick me out as church treasurer to read scripture about money? I'll let you decide. Actually, goodness is a great source of profit when it is combined with being happy with what you already have. We didn't bring anything into the world, and so we can't take anything out of it. We'll be happy with food and clothing. But people who are trying to get rich fall into temptation. They are trapped by many stupid and harmful passions that plunge people into ruin and destruction. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some have wandered away from the faith and have impaled themselves with a lot of pain because they have made money their goal. But as for you, men of God, run away from all these things. Instead, pursue righteousness, holy living, faithfulness, love, endurance, and gentleness. Compete in the good fight of faith. Grab hold of eternal life. You were called to it, and you made a good confession of it in the presence of many witnesses. I command you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, in Christ Jesus, who made a good confession when testified before Pontius Pilate. Obey this order without fault or failure until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. The timing of this appearance is revealed by God alone, who is blessed and only Master, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He alone has immortality and lives in light that no one can come near. No human being has ever seen or is able to see him. Honor and eternal power belong to him. Amen. Tell people who are rich at this time not to become egotistical and not to place their hope on their finances, which are uncertain. Instead, they need to hope in God, who richly provides for our enjoyment. Tell them to do good, to be rich in the good things they do, to be generous, and to share with others. When they do these things, they will save a treasure for themselves that is a good foundation for the future. That way, they can take hold of what is truly life. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Robert. I asked Sherry earlier this week who the reader was, and she told me it was you, and I just kind of laughed and said, God likes to show off sometimes and just have a lot of fun with the things that we do. And so again, thank you for reading that this morning. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much again for this day that you've given to us, again for the opportunity we have to gather in your church. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me to speak. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be obedient to your call upon us. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. I like to always have kind of a cute sermon title when it comes to the sermons that I'm doing. And when I worked on this several months ago, I saw the passage. I knew that we were going to start a stewardship focus the following month, and I just thought, you know, cute is no good. Let's just call it what it is. This is just a money sermon. This is what Paul is talking about and what he's helping Timothy to understand. And what Paul is really trying to tell us this morning, he's really trying to help us understand the benefits of contentment. The benefits of being content. He actually kind of commands that we be content in verses 13 and 14. He says in verse 13, I command you in the presence of God. And then he kind of describes who God is and how great God is. And then in verse 14, he says, obey this order without fault or failure until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he kind of breaks out into more description and worship of who God is, and he ends his part with amen. And in the midst of talking about money, he has this revival moment, this moment of praise. I'm still waiting for my first finance committee meeting where we just kind of break out in revival and praise. I know it'll happen sooner or later, right? It's bound to happen sooner or later. We'll just break out in song, maybe like a musical or something. Who knows? Contentment for many of us and for our society is kind of one of those words we try to stay away from, isn't it? We've kind of seen it as a bad word. We don't want to be content. We want to live the American dream. We want to have everything that is due us and everything that is owed to us because of who we think we are or where we think we live or what we think our ideals need to be. And the problem with being content is that it forces us to distinguish between our wants and our needs. Joel, as you know, is just turned 4 this last July, and he's starting to tell us things that he needs. You know where I'm going with this. I need this. I need that. And Joel, do you really need it or do you want it? Yesterday I asked him this question in the car. I don't remember what he needed, but he needed something desperately. And I said, Joel, do you need it or do you want it? He says, I really want it. I said, well, I'm glad we can be honest, finally, with this. And I venture to guess that Joel is not the only one here this morning who struggles with distinguishing between need and want. I think we waste a lot of time and energy justifying why we think a want is really a need. I've done this in my own life. Well, Lord, if I had this, I would be a better preacher. And we all know that's not true. This is as good as it gets right here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, I have peaked. I've hit the ceiling, okay? You're stuck with it, at least for a year. We waste a lot of time, and y'all are really laughing over there. Made me a little nervous. The SBR committee's really laughing. We waste a lot of time and energy justifying why a want is really a need. And in so doing, we trap ourselves, as Paul says in verse 9, by many stupid and harmful passions. We trap ourselves. We lock ourselves up in this idea of what we think we deserve or what is owed to us. And Paul clearly informs Timothy in verse 10 that it is the love of money which is a root of evil. Now, most of our translations say it's the root of evil. Ladies and gentlemen, there are plenty of roots to evil. Money is one of those. It happens to be a big one, but it is not the only root to evil. Can I get an amen on that one? There are plenty of them. The love of money, or really the love of anything that we put above or over God, means the absence of contentment. Because God is here to give us contentment. He is here to give us joy. He is here to give us that which is most needed, not which is most wanted. And joy can really only be found in contentment. Now, I'm going to confess this morning that I love to eat. And it's very rare that I will eat until I'm content. Right, Abby? Just look at our grocery bill sometime. I usually eat until I can't eat anymore. And then I go lay down. And I try to justify why I did what I did. Contentment is a difficult thing for us to grasp. But God promises to give us joy. And when He gives us joy, we will find ourselves in a very content place, knowing that we have all that we need. Not all that we want, but all that we need. And so how do we find contentment in a world bent on overindulgence? How do we properly steward the things that we have been given? I honestly believe, I genuinely believe that everyone in here wants to be a good steward of what you've been given. I know that it's true. And proper stewardship means differentiating between our needs and our wants. Saying, there's something I really want to do, but there's something I need to take care of first. Right? Stewardship focuses us on God. And I think we can see when Paul begins to kind of worship God in the midst of this, that this focus of stewardship leads to a joyful celebration on his part. And he begins to just give thanks for all that God has given to him. And he begins to be mindful of all the things that he really has. You see, money has a strange way of making us believe that we lack something or that we are deficient in some way. A lot of us put our self-esteem in our paycheck, don't we? Well, I didn't bring home as much as I thought I was going to bring, so I must not be the type of person I thought I was. Or someone must be really important if they're able to do the things that they're able to do. And often when we think of money, we think of the glass as half empty. And really, that's not the right way to look at it. To be content, we need to truly be aware of God's blessings in our lives. And so I want to make us aware of how blessed we really are this morning. Is that all right if I do that? We cannot truly or fully trust in God or worship God or find joy in God unless we believe that He provides for our needs. Who is going to worship a God that we don't think is going to meet our needs? None of us would worship a God like that. And so we need to believe it this morning, that God wants to meet our needs. And so we have to ask ourselves, are my basic needs being met? Now, Paul alludes to what these basic needs are in verse 8. He says food and clothing. Those are two very important things. I will add a third, and that's a roof over our head or shelter of some kind. And the reason I'm going to add that is because all throughout Scripture, God's people are a people of place, a people who are heading to the promised land, a land, a space that has been given to them, a people whose God chooses at one time to reside in the temple and to be in a place, a God who gives to us and is at this moment preparing rooms for us. All right? So our basic needs are food, clothing, and shelter. If we have those this morning, congratulate yourself, because you are richer than the vast majority of the world. The vast majority. I went online and did a little research this week. The average worldwide income is around $18,000 a year. Take a moment to just let that sink in for a second. Some have suggested, and I found some studies on this, that if you make $34,000 or more a year, you are part of the elite 1% of the world. Does that kind of blow your mind? How low that number is and how high that puts us in terms of the world? That means if you make $34,000 or more a year, you're richer than 99% of the world's population. That's crazy. More than a third of the world's population lives on $2 a day. Now, I did some math. And I'm not good at math, so I reserve the right to be wrong. But if you get $2 a day for 7 days, and you do that for 52 days of the year, I think that comes out to $728. Anybody in math? Is that right? Or weeks, I'm sorry, yes. Yeah, 52 weeks. See, I don't even know my days either. We've got a few teachers in here, so please do correct me if I'm wrong. The SPR committee's over there meeting. We'll let them do what they're going to do. So more than one-third of the world's population lives on around $728 a year. Shame on us for thinking we need just a little bit more. Shame on us for complaining that we don't have what the Joneses next door have. The average income in the United States, there were varying things on this. I couldn't find any one specific number, is somewhere between $37,000 and $57,000 a year. That's the average in the United States. This is big. That's, you know, it's a $20,000 difference there. But it's somewhere in between there. So really, the average person in the United States is part of the elite 1%. Do you know what the average, don't show this slide just yet. I said don't, thank you. Does anyone know what the average income in Elkton and Todd County is? We have a Mission Insight, which is a tool that we have in the Kentucky Annual Conference, which runs demographic information. And so what I did is I did a demographic search of 5 miles around where we're currently sitting. All right? So 5 miles from where we are currently sitting, anyone want to guess what the average household income is? No, no, not yet. Higher. 80. Lower than 80. Higher. 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 $49,227.20. I know you were. I know you had it was on the tip of your tongue. So the average household income. Now, again, I realize not everybody makes this, and some people make far more than this, and I realize that. And so, again, we're not trying to pass blame or to say, guess what, or look at this, or anything like that. We're just getting to know what the facts are. So we can truly realize our need for contentment, our need for recognizing that we are a people, by and large, who have. And we are not the have-nots we often tend to think that we are. We need to be a grateful people and a content people. We cannot want more and be content. And again, shame on us for not being content with what we have. Contentment and gratefulness manifest themselves in generosity. They manifest themselves in tithing. That's how we begin to practice the discipline of contentment and gratefulness. In the early church, tithing was a mark of discipleship. Now, in our society today, we are trying to encourage people up to that 10% tithing and saying, okay, let's make steps. In Acts, in the early church, that was the first thing someone did. That was the initial mark of discipleship, was giving 10%. And we've brought it down some. This is the mark of discipleship, is tithing. Tithing is proof of one's contentment, it's proof of one's trust, and it's proof of gratefulness we have to God for what He has given to us. It's not a bad word like contentment is, though we tend to think it is. I honestly think that tithing is one of the roots of holiness that helps to uproot the evil in our life. Tithing allows us to see money as a tool and not as a god, which again, we tend to typically do. When we give God our tithes and offerings, we recognize money as a tool to bless other people rather than a tool to simply bless ourselves. Now, there is a difference between tithes and offerings, and we just want to touch on that real quick. The tithe, as we see throughout Scripture, is the first 10% of what we've been given. It's to be given traditionally to the church, and it works all its way up in the law. We see that everyone is expected to tithe. Even the high priests who are receiving are expected to tithe and to give into the temple treasury so that the poor are taken care of, so that the widows are looked after, so that the orphan has a place to go. The offering, on the other hand, is something we give over and above the tithe. And that's what we can designate. I really want to put some money away for this or for that. I'm just going to ask. We're in a spirit of boldness today. Please don't designate your tithe, because it's not really a tithe when you do that. Because if you still have to be in control of what that money does, you've not really given it to God. And I can guarantee you that I'm going to have nothing to do with that money that's given. That goes to the finance committee to oversee and the church council to decide on those things. I'm not driving a new car when people give more. I may get a new car eventually, so please don't see that as something. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. Tithing is a tool to bless others rather than to bless ourselves. And it's an opportunity for us to free ourselves of the stupid and harmful passions that money tend to create within us, and this desire to get rich. I can honestly say in my own life that I've never seen God redeem anything more in my life than in His redemption of time and money. In those weeks and those times where I've been extremely busy, it never seems to fail that God redeems that time, and I have enough time to get done the things that I need to do. Never has ceased to fail. In college and seminary, if there were X amount of papers and tests and all these things that were due, it never seemed to fail that one of them would get pushed back or postponed or canceled. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. The same is true with finances, with my money. Now, Abby and I have been blessed that in our life we've been raised to tithe. It was the first thing. I can remember the very first allowance I ever got. My parents gave me $5. I was the richest kid in the world. They gave me 4 ones and 4 quarters. And I said, why aren't you just giving me a 5? Well, I probably didn't say it that way. But they said, these 2 quarters go in the plate at church. And I said, that's stupid. That's not mine. That's my money. What are you talking about? Give it to church. And then they started to explain it to me. So I get that I've grown up with this mindset. And I get that many others have not. Okay? I get that. But I guarantee you, every time you do that, you will be blessed. And we're going to talk about that in a second. I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher. We're not going to go there, but I'll explain that here in a second. But there are those times when I go to a worship service like you, and I find that they're taking up an offering. And you don't want to know what my first thought is? Oh, they're asking for money. I knew it. I should have known better. I should have emptied my wallet before I got here. And inevitably, it's right after payday, and so I look in there and I've got money, and I'm like, oh, God wants me to give this. And it takes a few minutes, and then I'm like, you know what, if I give this, I want to see how God's going to, what he's going to do. There have been times where I've been out of town traveling, and I've been somewhere, and they've called for an offering, and I've given it, and I've given all the money that I've got, and I've got nothing left to eat on. And it's amazing how God still provides for me. I'm so much faster than the waiters and waitstaff when I eat and run than I should be. No. just kidding. But I've never ceased to be amazed at how God blesses me. He doesn't bless me with money, and that's what I want to remind us of. Whenever I'm generous to others, God shows his generosity to me, but very rarely does he bless me monetarily. Okay, God never blesses me with the finances in that way when I give. So I'm not here to say that if you give 10%, God's going to give you millions of dollars. Please do not hear me say that. And I don't think God always blesses us monetarily in this way because that's just too easy. I think God likes to be creative. I think he likes to have fun with the ways that he blesses us. And so from time to time, yes, he may bless us with money, but more often than not, he's going to bless us with something else. A potluck to feed us because we gave our 10% even though we didn't have it, and it was either that or buy groceries, right? Or something to that effect. God likes to show off. He likes to have fun and find creative ways to bless us. At the last church, we had a food pantry, and I didn't realize that when I went to the food pantry that we had so much money in that account. I thought we had more than we did, and I ended up spending about $30 more than we had. Well, you know, no big deal. It's 30 bucks. It is what it is. But when I realized that, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to go and repent in sackcloth and ashes to the administrative board that I did this and this, that, and the other. That day, this lady who had received from our food pantry came and brought a $35 check. And I was just like, I should have spent way more money. Why did I only go over by $30? I should have. And God just has an interesting way of showing up and showing off when we trust him completely. And I want to encourage us with that this morning. And I want us to know that when we give every single time, you will be blessed by God with contentment. You will know that your needs are going to be met. You will know that God is watching out for you. You will have this sense of joy every single time. I guarantee it. Because that is what I have seen in my life every single time. When we give, God blesses us with contentment. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. So excited. They're crying back there. This is so good. With that, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much again for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for always meeting our needs and for giving us far more than we deserve or can even imagine. We pray that you would help us to be content with what you have given to us. May we not strive for more, but may we look for ways to give creatively as you have given so creatively to us. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.